The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We'll begin with that story that landed in the Sunday Independent yesterday and on RTE television last night. The Football Association of Ireland holding a media briefing this morning following that investigation that revealed a number of allegations from female footballers about alleged unwanted or inappropriate sexual advances from FAI coaches in the 1990s. Now, the FAI, we know, have stood down three former coaches, and in a statement, the organisation said they were shocked and appalled to learn of those allegations. It's worth pointing out that the coaches in question deny the allegations. The two-year investigation was a joint effort from RTE Investigates and the Sunday Independent, and senior news reporter for the Sunday Independent, Mark Tighe, is with us now. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Jonathan.
This was a huge body of work. When you started scratching the surface, were you surprised by what you found?
Yeah, we were. Initially, I suppose that our way into the story was Ireland's top goal scorer, Olivia O'Toole. You know, she was saying there was issues here that have been long kind of buried in Irish football. And you know, Olivia was, you know, just a superstar kind of in Irish football. And she was kind of reluctant to go into the details. So after a while, I found out that Marie was talking to her, Marie Crowe from RTE, and we eventually sat down and said, let's combine our resources here and go at it. It was such a difficult story to try and get over the line. And the more we dug into it, then we found that there was allegations about other coaches, not just one that Olivia had an issue with. And yeah, it kind of spiraled then, and it was a big effort, I suppose, on both our parts to try and get the women to trust us that we could tell their story, and you know that they had to also be patient with us because we had to go through a lot of hoops and journalistic checks, and you know, to satisfy our lawyers, corroborate the various stories, and you know that took a lot with our very stringent defamation laws in Ireland to get this to a place where we were all happy we could stand over it.
It stems back to a time when women's football was in a very nascent period, and there was effectively a false course set up so that players could be paid in some way, and it is that false course that was the genesis of a lot of the allegations.
That's correct, yeah. So like, people would know Roy Keane, kind of Ireland's, you know, greatest footballer in the last 30 years or so. He came through a false course. The idea, the principle was brilliant. You know, these young unemployed men initially, or boys, you know, from 16 to 24, they could be paid, you know, to play football, you know, and a lot of, you know, really good players came through that. And then in 1996, what was called the Ladies Football Association of Ireland, which was an affiliate of the Football Association of Ireland, the FAI, they combined with FOSS for the very first all-women, all-ladies soccer course. And, you know, they had 20 really bright, hopeful young women who just love football and, you know, hope to make a career either, you know, playing football or being a coach themselves. And that course, you know, began in Leixlip in 1996. Found it to find the more we dug into this.
We're looking at a time in the past when there was no Me Too movement. There were less protections in place than there are now. Were you surprised that this culture seemed to have evolved?
Yes. Yeah. Like one coach said, you know, quite openly said he had consensual relationships with two trainees on that course, you know, one in year one and year one in year two. And he said, you know, my conscience is clear. It was a different time. But, you know, as someone who's involved in football myself at a club local level, you know, and, you know, as a daughter who plays football, there's never a situation, I think, where a coach, especially where there's a huge age difference of, you know, 10 plus years, where a coach should be in a position where they're actually in a relationship or, you know, making sexual advances on, you know, a player. You know, as one of the players who spoke to us said, you know, she was made captain. You know, she was being told that, you know, doors would be open. She could get into the Ireland squad. She could get a move across to England, you know, play for Arsenal. You know, when that player was asked to go on dates, you know, with the power dynamic there, and, you know, every player wants stay on their coach's right side, what ability did she actually have to say no? You know, so you have to look at that power dynamic. Anyone involved in any team sport knows that the coach sits at the top of a pyramid, and when you bring in personal relationships, you know, there should be boundaries there. Mm. And it seems that, you know, again, according to one of the coaches, they were told oh no, we were never told that there was anything wrong with that. You know, so no one ever told us we couldn't go be in relationships. Now that was strongly disputed by the head of the LFAI at the time, that it would have been apparent that any type of these relationships would not have been allowed. And the head of the LFAI at that time said if they didn't know that coaches were in relationships with players, they would have been dismissed from their position. Mm.
Reading the newspaper yesterday and watching the programme last night, I was blown away by the impact that this actually had on these women's lives, because they wanted to be professional footballers, they were footballers, and this obstacle, this barrier had been thrown in front of them. It was incredibly brave to speak out, but it took them so long to feel safe enough to do so.
Interestingly, a lot of people, we spoke to some therapists, and a lot of people, these women are now getting counselling, you know, because we've, in a part of our work, dug up a lot of this trauma that they buried. And I know one of the counsellors told me that when you're subjected to something that this is traumatic and, you know, affects your whole life, you're kind of frozen in time. And, you know, for some of these women who were 18, 19, when they think of this coach, they're still frozen at that period of time where they're an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old, and, you know, this coach is, you know, someone who still has a lot of hold over them in their lives. So there was a lot of fear, you know, that by speaking out, you know, that there could be repercussions, you know. So that was one of the reasons it took us so long, I suppose, to get this over the line over the last 2 years, that we had to build up the level of trust with these women that we would tell their story faithfully. And that's one of the reasons, yeah, it just took such an amount of work. And so, you know, myself and Marie had to tic-tac a lot, and a lot of visits down, a lot of miles driving down the country to meet these women and just build up that level of trust with them. And I know, like, it's something we're both very proud of, that we're able to get over the line, and very happy to have it out there after so much kind of work over the last few years. There were times we thought we'd never get this over the line.
Yesterday, the women, or the group representing the women, said they wanted their pain to be the next generation's gain, which very much passes the ball back to the FAI, who are holding this press conference later on. What do you expect them to say?
Yeah, well, what we want to hear from the FAI is what they have done. Like, they've known of this since at least February. We advised the Professional Footballers Association of Ireland, the PFAI, to about what was happening. Cause, you know, as media organisations, we're not built or able to provide counselling, so the PFAI was able to really step up there. But they also approached the FAI and said, you need to help on this front, you know. You need to help in terms of providing counselling for these women. So we want to hear, you know, if there's women playing, now if there's women playing League of Ireland football, if there's women playing, or young girls in club football anywhere around Ireland, and they have concern about their coach, we need to hear from the FAI, you know, what can those women do? What can those girls do if they want to raise a concern about what's happening with those coaches, and what action will the FAI take? So we really want to hear from the FAI, you know, what are the protocols in place? What system have you put in place to make sure that this can't happen again?
Mark Tybe, senior news reporter with the Sunday Independent. Thanks very much for talking to us, Mark.
Jonathan, thank you.
It's such a broad story, it's such an impactful story, and it's one I think we're going to hear definitely more today with the FAI having that press conference. But you'd wonder what else might be out there. And there's definitely people who have been listening who have been affected by this discussion. And if you've been affected by this discussion in any way, you can contact the Rape Crisis Helpline. They have a 24-hour helpline on 1-800-77-8888. That's 1-800-77-8888. And the FAI, to their credit, have said that anyone who has experienced any form of abuse or harm with Irish football can contact an independent and confidential service they have set up with Raise a Concern. And the number on that one is 01-610-7929. That's 01-610-7929. Jonathan Healy in for Pat Kenny on this Monday morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.